Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
You know what? I knew I sounded too cheerful on that first start. I was like, this doesn't feel
right.
There was
a false start. There was a false start, you guys. And here we are. I'm Jackie Cation. You're Laurie Kilmartin.
Laurie Kilmartin. You're, by the way, your fans hate me.
My fans hate you?
Yeah.
Dork Forest fans?
The mistake of Googling Jackie and Laurie podcast reviews and reading.
Yeah.
People that come here from the Dork Forest fucking hate my guts.
All of them.
And they love you. A lot of reviews start out, I love Jackie. And then dot, dot, dot. Some guy wrote some paragraph about everything
how much
he can't stand.
About you?
Yeah. Which is his way of saying he loves you.
Well, I'll have you know that I have kept up with the reviews as well on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And some people only like you.
I didn't see any of them today.
Well, you should keep looking, because the thing is, I mean, it's a classic stand-up thing where you're like, you only see the bad ones about you.
Yeah.
Because I only saw the bad ones about me.
Okay.
And the people that like both of us, and the people that like you more or the person that likes me more, we just got to keep going.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Moving ahead.
That's it. Keep rolling. We're just doing one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got back from doing Portland's Helium with Maria and then Eugene, Oregon.
And Eugene was was Portland
it's
on Saturday?
Just Comedy.
Oh, you're wearing a shirt.
Wearing a shirt. I was given, it's a couple of local comics.
Can I feel that fabric? Is it nice?
It's nice. It's a.
Oh, that's comfy, cozy.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt. It's the Just Comedy people, Rudy, and who went to college with Margie Mintz.
Who?
You know Margie Mintz? Dan Mintz? Margie used to used to do stand-up, does a lot of acting, and now has two children, and Dan works on Bob's Burgers. And
well, good luck to those guys. It sounds like
it's all working out.
Situation in financial terror.
It isn't.
I know.
I think it's all working out.
Yeah.
And so Portland was super fun. Get this. So Maria's working Helium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm opening for her.
Right.
Tammy Pescatelli is working Harvey's.
Harvey's, which used to be the old Last Laugh, which originally...
Really?
Yeah. This is my comedy history, Jackie, okay?
Yeah, because Portland, Oregon had a comedy club called Harvey's that I've only known about for 20 years.
Okay.
Before
that, it was called The Last Laugh. There's a chain. There was two in San Jose. There was one in Portland, one in Seattle, and one in Phoenix.
Really?
Owned by the guy that either raped or tried to rape a surfer and went to jail, Joe Torres. And his wife, Christina. I'm sure they're divorced.
I don't think that relationship kept going. Hopefully
I don't
not.
Know what happened. They were all of they themselves were, obviously he's a piece of shit. She was dicey. I met her one or two times.
Right.
I was just terrified
of
her.
Did you work the room? Did you
I worked all
chain?
Of them. I was like an MC. I worked all of them
the
time. So I was just like trying to stay on her good side because she's the one that books the room.
So this is mid-90s.
Early 90s. Like 92-ish and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And they all were great rooms. So I have no idea how they, and maybe it was just the 90s, where everything was a great room.
Yeah.
But you would just fucking murder all the time, all five rooms. That's where I met Brad Upton. And, we shared a condo together. Who's now his dry bar is had a 10 bajillion.
Right. He has a 1,000 bajillion. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like a track coach at University of Washington.
Oh,
and I remember then he was like an assistant track coach on the side. I was like, that's a weird gig.
But he loves it. He loves coaching.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah. He's a coach guy.
And he's a super funny guy. Anyway, so then The Last Laugh went out of business, and the guy that owned the building, Barry Collin, just, I don't know why he called it Harvey's.
I don't know either, but he was famous for being out of his goddamn mind.
Super cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Super cheap.
Not only super cheap, but had this whole thing. You know, Augie Smith has worked for Barry for 20 years, right? And I would ask Augie if he would recommend me, because Barry had a hard, you know that rule that he had?
Which was?
Is that you could suggest a comic to headline. But if they did not do well,
oh, that's right,
you didn't get booked for a year. So Augie was always like, "Can I do it my week? Because then I won't
do it after his week. Yeah.
Like during his week, he would suggest
me.
And then
you have to murder, or you're not only did you kill your career, but also Augie's.
Right. That's then it would have hurt Augie's. And so we never ended up having it happen. Because I think Barry changed it to the week that he booked you for. So
wait, what?
Essentially, like if Augie would have suggested me, no, Augie would have suggested me.
Yeah,
I would have got booked 2 months later.
Yeah,
and then if I didn't murder, Augie would have been a year from the week that I did.
Oh my god! So he would have lost bananas.
I mean, it was just such a Machiavellian kind of like orchestrate. It was just completely insane.
Why do these people book? Just count your money and give the club to a fucking booker, okay? Count your drink sales. That's what you're in it for.
That's what you're in it for. You're just in it for cash and prizes.
He would constantly headline that guy Rick, who was like the first who. Marry a millionaire guy. You know, remember the...
Oh, that guy!
Yes! The guy who wore the flame pants.
That Patton Oswalt split a... He featured for him. This is a great... He was on I Married a Millionaire?
Yes.
Remember that comic?
Yeah, yeah. He was like the first Bachelor. And I think everyone at comedy is like, what?
He's a millionaire? Guy?
Yeah. He supposed fucking to be headlines Harvey.
Yeah, that's
not a millionaire.
A,
no way.
Right. Someone who headlines Harveys, that is not a millionaire. just by definition, especially for Barry. But I remember Patton Oswalt, when it came out that guy was on that show, Patton was like, I featured for him once and they shared a condo. And that guy went through the condo and looked at Patton's room. And Patton had a better alarm clock than he did. And so Rick took it.
Of course.
He was like, this is a headliner alarm clock.
Look, I got to side with Rick on that one. Headliner gets the good alarm clock. They got to wake up for radio, right?
Please write down, headliner gets the good alarm clock.
Kyle's actually filling out a resume. He's on LinkedIn right now.
He does feel like he might be transcribing this. He seems very, very, very intense.
Avid typing. So how was Helium?
Oh, Helium is so wonderful. Maria's audiences are outstanding. They book Melissa
booked out of where? The home office in Helium?
Helium Town, yeah.
Okay.
Helium Town books all seven of them now. And Melissa Villaseñor is going to be there in early June.
Oh, cool.
And but Maria's,
she's on SNL?
Yeah. It's from here.
Mm-hmm.
And is a delight. And mm-hmm. she was one of the comics of the week.
Yeah, early on.
And she... what was it?
Great crowds, Helium.
Great crowds, Helium. It was, and then I do the thing that I always do whenever I open for Maria at a club where the audience comes up to me afterwards and says they thoroughly enjoyed my set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, feel free to email the club.
Yes.
And then, but the club told me that they on the regular get emails about headlining me there. They've passed them on to corporate and corporate is unmoved. But
whoa,
but I also found out that there's because get this. So Tammy's at Harvey's,
right?
Caitlin Weinhauser is doing a theater in town. Brandy Posey was doing a theater in town. These are different.
So people are just doing other venues.
Maggie May
can't get through to corporate at Helium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maggie May was in town. I think doing a corporate. Doing a one-nighter.
Wow.
And I tried to set up a comedy brunch, and only Brandy came. Because Tammy got a headache, because it was a Saturday morning, and Tammy had three shows that Saturday night.
That's awful. It's like 6, 9, and 11? Or 6, 30,
it's
9, gotta 11?
Be 7. It's got to be 7, 9, and 11, right?
Wow.
I don't think 6. 6 doesn't make any sense. But it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So mm-hmm. one on Thursday, two on Friday, three on Saturday.
Brutal.
So brutal, yeah.
And but ideally, you could sell. You have more merch to sell if you're
right.
a merch
Oh, my God.
Person.
I sold so much merch because Maria only brought 50 tea towels.
Yeah.
And so I sold out of her tea towels by Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just bought my merch. I think I got another grand for a donation for Meat Shield.
Guess what I did?
What'd you do?
Okay, so I was in Palm Springs.
Oh, that's right.
I was doing this, like a private event.
You had never been?
It's so beautiful. I can't believe it. It's not that far of a drive.
You've never been to Palm Springs.
It's gorgeous. I was I could just live here. But it's you're in the desert. There's mountains all around, and it's a lot of low ceiling
altitude.
No, the buildings. It's not like 10-story buildings. Oh, it's okay. Like single 2-3-story buildings. So you can see the mountains. You know, it's not blocked by some piece of shit building, right?
They're just some casinos. It's just, but then you don't have to live
very
around
few.
Them.
Yeah. My hotel didn't face the casinos.
Well played.
But
you were doing a corporate or?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
weird.
Was Sean Palofsky recommended me, and I recommended you for next time.
Oh God.
But they love female comics. They're out there once a year. It's like a sober group.
Oh nice.
And it was like 30 minutes.
You did easy. 30 minutes of stand up?
Not only that, they yes, I got this much.
Oh,
that's good.
That's fair for almost in town with hotel.
Damn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hyatt.
That's great.
Hyatt Hotel.
At a Hyatt. Very nice.
Here's the thing. I mean, sometimes there's gigs where they're so nice to you, you're like, I don't believe this.
Right.
he insisted on paying me half of it like 2 months ago.
Right.
And then when I hadn't cashed a check immediately, he was emailing me.
Right. What about?
We haven't done the gig yet. Calm down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he like overnighted me the next check before the gig started, like last Thursday.
That's what
or
I
something.
Want. That's what I want every time I do any sort of corporate.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
So anyway, by the time I drive out there, I'm paid. And so I had books, and I was thinking about how you sell so much stuff and you are able to donate.
Right.
And how uncomfortable I am trying to sell books on stage. And
right.
I thought, well, if I'm donating the profits to something, I won't feel uncomfortable, you know?
Huh.
So that's what happened. I held up my books and, you know, kind of described them. And I said, all the profits will go to GLAAD.
Oh.
And I sold 17 books. And the profits were like, I think it was like 134.
134 books.
Yeah. I sent it to GLAAD, took a screenshot, tweeted it. And it's like, yeah, there you go.
I broke even.
I didn't lose money.
No,
but
some of your books got sold.
Yes,
got
I'm
out
getting
there.
My books out there. Yep. And then I gave away a lot of our stickers, maybe a bunch of, it was mostly gay men. So
oh,
I'm
nice.
Like, you guys will love us, please.
Oh my gosh. And, somebody did ask me if I had any Jackie Laurie notebooks. And I said, I only have the totes. She has the notebooks. We should probably split them up a little more evenly.
We should do that better.
Yeah. And everybody in Oregon wants to see us, by the way. They want us to do, because there's a couple of different... It's not called the kitchen sink. I forget what it's called, but it's like there's a theater space called Kitchen Something.
Okay.
And then there's a theater space called The Siren.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both pretty great to do sort of a live Jackie and Laurie. We could
that would be so fun.
And we could each do half hour sets like we did, and then do an hour pod.
Yeah.
And then Maria and I went to Eugene, and the Just Comedy guys were like, please come. And I said, well, if your schedule provides, that'd be great. And if not, I could just come and do stand up, or you can just come and do stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman who booked Salem was there, and she was like, we would love you to come. And then the woman who books Bend,
that we've
been talking to online, she also came to the show, and she was like, when are you guys coming to Bend?
We got to figure something out.
We got to figure something out. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah. And, you know, Oregon is so pretty.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The hotel was insane. I will not be staying at whatever hotel we stayed at in Eugene, even though it's under construction.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that just means it's wrapped in plastic.
Right.
It usually doesn't mean that there's a drill going 9 hours a day.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
But otherwise it was nice?
No.
Oh,
no,
it was awful.
No, no. And there was a lot of paneling.
I thought you said it was insane in a good way.
Well, right. And it wasn't. It wasn't insane. The bed was comfortable. The bathtub was very nice. Mm-hmm. There was too much fucking art. And it was all creepy.
Oh,
like
I saw.
Like there was a bicycle seat.
Yeah.
And there was a paddle that had a fret thing on it. There was several lamps that were intimidating. There were intimidating lamps that were happening. I didn't need any part of it.
Okay, so the Hyatt had a little balcony.
Okay,
and it's it. it I are all Hyatts this way? I know the San Francisco Hyatt is, and this one was, where there's like an interior.
Oh, that open thing?
Yeah. Sort of like an atrium, and then there's a clear elevator that goes up and down.
Oh.
I think that must be their thing. I just thought it was a San Francisco Hyatt from growing up.
Right.
I had a balcony and nice.
That faced outside?
Nice, crisp white sheets. No robe. I thought I was going to have a robe.
You were hoping for a robe?
Yeah.
You love a robe.
I open up the closet. I'm like, damn it. I should have called ahead because I could have brought my own robe.
Right.
I had room
You're
service.
In a robe.
I'm in a robe
now. You love a robe.
I got one. I have three robes. I'm a connoisseur.
You know, when I was a child, my stepmother insisted we all have robes. She was like, you wear robes, not like you're not an animal.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we're animals. why are there robes all of a sudden?
You can't just be out in your pajamas. You need to. You need something. You need a little belt to cinch so you can walk around and, you know.
You're a classy lady, Kilmartin. You're a real classy lady.
And then I was at Flappers the weekend before.
Okay.
Right? Before. You and I.
Palm Springs?
Yeah. Because we did too.
Right.
And so those were fun. I think the Saturday show, the first one was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second, it was pretty good attendance. It was Mother's Day weekend. Oh, did I tell you about that Grass Valley gig?
With Sacramento, where you drove the hour and then drove back?
Oh, yeah, I did, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind. I already talked about all that.
So this week, we're doing this Monday night.
And right.
So
it's dropping next Monday.
It's dropping next Monday. And so I'm going to do Women Crush Wednesday again for the first time again. So, this will only be the second time.
I love that show.
I'm really psyched. Yeah. And then I'm doing a bunch of other LA sets this week. And then next week, I'm also doing LA sets. And it's Put Your Hands Together. Mm-hmm. And then a couple other gigs. And it's going to be super fun. Should I tell you what happened? I did tell you. That I was just at dinner and the table next to mine.
Yeah.
it was a guy who looked like a comic, but he looked like a goofball comic in the way that he was probably our age and he was wearing a fedora.
Oh,
indoors at dinner.
If you're not Paul F. Tompkins, then I don't want to hear about it.
And Paul F. Tompkins takes his hat off inside.
Oh, okay.
Because he's an adult man.
Sure.
And I mean, that's the whole thing about if you're going to be a hat guy, you have to know that you're supposed to take your hat off indoors.
Right.
Because that's what the whole fucking hat thing was about. As far as I've read some historical fiction. Anyway, but he was, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Just Comedy.
Right.
And so Andy and I sit down for dinner and all of a sudden, and he had been staring at me and I was like, he looks really familiar. He looks like a comic. Whatever. We sit down, we're eating. And then all of a sudden I heard him say, something about Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. And so I decide not to listen in because I don't want to become angry. And, but I just hear the woman he's having dinner going, she goes, C.K., isn't that that guy? And he goes, I'm just going to tell you one of his bits.
He's got some good ones.
He did have some good ones, and it made me laugh. I was like, all right, I don't need to listen to any more of this. And then the other thing that happened today is I got a text message from a comic, or he used to do stand-up. I don't know what his last name is. He's a friend of a friend, right?
Okay.
You know Cindy Caponera?
Yeah. I think I've met her one or two times.
A comedy writer.
She's a writer. Yeah.
And he's a comedy writer, this guy Joe. And so Joe texts me and he goes, I have a joke, but it's that only a woman could tell.
Oh, no.
You can have it, but you can't judge me for writing it. And I was like, no, thank you.
You have.
I can't.
You've told me so much about you.
Right.
In that description,
it's way too much. And here's the thing is it literally reminded me of something I did in probably 2002 where I tried to give a joke about being black to a black comic. And the look on Sully McCullough's face, who is a perfectly great writer and amazing comic himself.
He's got himself covered.
He doesn't need my fucking he was literally, I insisted on telling him the joke. This is so humiliating to tell, but this is why you don't want to do this, right? Because he was hurt by the joke. because the joke was dumb. It was about, and I didn't even realize it was the learning experience that was me telling a black man a joke that he should tell as a black man.
So it's not, you're not riffing off something he's already done. This is whole setup and punch.
This is from whole cloth.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is a terrible idea.
Yes.
From the start.
Definitely.
And so I told Joe that story, and Joe insisted on telling me his lady joke anyway.
Oh my God.
Anyway, much like I insisted on telling Sully the joke, and Sully was like,
you can't
nope.
be talked out of it.
You can't.
You really
be.
Can't.
It turns out you can't be talked out of it. And Sully was like, no, I won't be doing that. Do whatever you want to do with that joke. And so it took me, like, I learned in that moment that that was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then whenever it's on my fucking Bread album, that joke, by the way.
Mm.
And it's not a great joke. It's not a great.
When you tried to give to Sully.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
essentially reworked
to take it. Take
it on. Yeah.
Okay.
And I made it my own, which is fine. And better me than him. It was about Liberia and slavery.
Oh, my God, Jackie.
Yes, that is the correct response.
No.
So 10 years later.
So you gave a black comic a slavery joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop. In other words, Jackie, yeah. Stop talking. Don't do it. And so Joe mm-hmm. texts me. And the joke is that Joe sent me. And he insisted on it. And he was women over 60.
Oh, God.
It's not hashtag me too. It's hashtag me please.
Okay. Okay.
And so I call Cindy, and Cindy's like, yeah, you should really unpack that joke and just talk about how you're not 60. And that's clearly women are unfuckable at 60. Is that what you're saying, Joe? And then she went on a rant that was really fucking hilarious. But
you know, that, you know who should tell that joke?
Who?
Joe.
Joe should tell that joke.
Yeah. And
yeah,
then,
and
get
then 10 years
booed
from
off
now,
stage.
Right. And then 10 years from now, find out not to. But here's where I have not done Wendy Liebman a favor. Because mm-hmm. I said, oh, it's a one-liner. You should give to Wendy.
Oh, no.
At which point
that's
Joe texted,
passing the buck.
It was the worst passing the buck because I didn't know that Joe knew Wendy. So he goes, oh, I'm going to call her right now.
Oh, no.
I know. So, Wendy, if you're listening, and I think you are because you are recuperating, I am so sorry.
Oh, my God.
And I do. And the thing about Joe is that he is a really funny, nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just, as am I. I am a very funny, nice white lady.
Yep.
That should not be telling black comics what kind of jokes to do.
Do you know this guy? Older guy, like maybe late
oh,
60s,
I know his
early
name.
70s. You know him. You know
yeah.
him. So he, I did a set with him this week, and I've never heard older jokes in my life. Yes. And at first I was angry, and then I was like obsessed. I was like, what?
Who is he?
He
wait,
was,
I don't
he was,
know
he's
him.
He's a comic from a certain era, and I guess he worked in...
The 50s.
no, 70, no. late, early 80s probably,
okay.
mid-80s. But it, Nicholson Impression.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did, was he saying
wasn't
anything
I
live, new?
Wasn't I live chatting, texting it to you guys?
I think
you I
were.
Because I couldn't believe his references.
Yeah.
And the audience, luckily, was old enough to get it. So they, like, he killed.
Was that Palm Springs?
No. This is here in
oh,
Los Angeles.
Oh, it was just somewhere in LA.
Yeah.
Just picked up a set and he went up.
I think he brought a lot of the crowd.
Oh.
And so he did great. And then I went up after him. And I also did great.
It turns out you also did jokes from the 21st century. And then, but Nicholson.
But he
huh?
had the stage, he had the stage presence, stagecraft, you know, it,
sure.
and it taught me like, wow, I might be able to get away with some real shit in 25 years. Like I could, if I just write a good 45, I can coast on it for as long as I feel like it. Right?
I will not wish that upon you. I will wish that there, the writing continues.
There will be the horny grandma stage of my career though, right? Like I'm going to be on the road as sex grandma, right? And I'm going to be talking about fucking all the 25-year-olds in the crowd and
oh my God.
Talk about my 40-year-old son.
I don't want that. But I know that the thing is you'll be able to make that funny.
Make a lot of money.
You might be able
right?
to rake
Maybe.
It in.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I
we're going to need money. It was somebody today was...
I'm obsessed with little revenue streams.
Oh, with small...
That's why I was looking on our I'm like, have we gotten more reviews? Are we getting a higher profile?
Oh, the Patreon and the Max
Fun. No, I just mean like, all that stuff. And then I've been working on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So far I have made $54.
I made $54 from Ebates in the last 5 months.
Ebates?
Yeah, Ebates. Oh, yeah, you get rebates for shopping things.
And, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fiddle and diddle.
But it's weird. Like this, I put up a video of, I already forgot what it was. I've been just putting up little clips and stuff, and it got over 1,000 views, and it's, and you know, they break down how much money each one, and it's 61 cents in my pocket after 1,000 views.
All right.
Yeah. That's,
it could be worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is this is what we're all, this is what we've all become. We're like, is there a way that I can make $54 a month from 900 things?
I know.
We would all, but it's like the
you can't just depend on one thing, you know, and you have to expect things are going to go away and
things will go away. You will definitely have to change. I did an ad for Postmates, for the Dork Forest.
Yeah.
And like, we know people, comics, who work for Postmates.
Yeah. And they rely heavily on tips. I guess people are assholes and they don't
cash.
Tip. Yes.
And just in cash.
Does Postmates take,
I think the app had a tip thing at the in the after.
Lyft doesn't take the tip money. The tip all goes to the driver.
My whole thing with Lyft, Postmates, and all of that stuff now is to tip in cash.
That's nice, but it's not tax deductible.
No, but I don't know that it's tax deductible anyway.
Well, no, it's... If I have a Lyft that's $54 on my on my credit card and $10 tip, it's the whole thing.
No, you can still count it.
Yeah, but you have to like keep track of the cash separately as opposed to here's my credit card statement. Oh. All these Lyfts were, you know, going to clubs and stuff like that.
My thing is every time I go to an airport, I tip $20 in cash because it's an airport.
I do 10 and I at Burbank, but I don't.
But you live a mile and a half from Burbank.
That's right. They're disappointed, and then I like to think that they're happy when they get the little ding from me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's a quick ride. But both of my lifts this trip were super expensive because it rained when I went to Portland. It was pouring. It was
so your lift from Portland to
from my house to LAX on Thursday morning. Was super expensive.
Why didn't you fly Southwest from Burbank to Portland?
I don't book it. It's
okay.
And so
Maria books it, or
yeah, okay. Maria's travel.
Why don't you guys both book go out of Burbank on Southwest to Portland? It's a nonstop.
It was a nonstop.
I know, but I mean, if you go out of Burbank, it's so much easier and cheaper.
I don't think it is cheaper,
in terms of Lyft and stuff, it is.
Right.
All right. Look, it's all right. It's a done trip. I don't know why I'm arguing about it.
It's true. It's and I think we're committed to. Oh my God, you got the text message today that they picked us up at the Porsche.
Oh my God, that's wait. Tell this whole story.
So
you're committed to Delta. Flying, I get it. When I hear these stories,
The Delta thing. We're committed. So flight was delayed out of Eugene for an hour and a half. So I was afraid we were going to miss the connecting flight. And they
were you connecting to?
We flew Eugene to Seattle, Seattle to LAX today.
I hate that.
Right, but there was no Eugene to anywhere direct. Mm. You had, even to get to Burbank, you had to fly to Salt Lake.
Okay.
So Eugene to Seattle was delayed an hour and a half. I thought we were going to miss the flight. So I'm checking. They backup booked us on a second flight.
They backup book you?
Yeah, the Delta does.
At
that level, or maybe at every level. I'm uncertain.
No, I've never been backup booked.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay, so I guess you're backup booked. And so we're getting off, and I'm like, we're supposedly at this other gate. And luckily, because we're on two flights. We're on the 207. Which was flying out of A5. We landed in B terminal. Mm-hmm. And then we're also on a 335 flight that they backup booked us out of S6.
Oh, no.
Right. So listing on the app is S6. So we would have gone to the wrong gate, except for as I was deplaning, there was a very perky Delta lady with an iPad that had my name on it.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, are you Miss Cashian? And I said, sort of. And I said, is this that Porsche thing? And she goes, yes, it is. It's a, and she got very excited to explain it. I said, well, we're together. We're going to the thing. And so we're driving around the tarmac. And I was like, she said, I have you at A5. And I said, my app says S6. She pulls over in the middle of a taxiway and calls and double checks for us and then takes us to A5.
How fun.
It was pretty cool.
Now, a Porsche doesn't have a back seat, so to speak,
it was
right?
A Porsche SUV.
I didn't know that existed.
They're called Cayenne. Do you know why? Because they're hot.
Anyway,
I'll be over here.
No. Give it to Joe. Give it to Joe.
The folded arms of Kyle.
And Kyle accepts anything. I've been listening to...
I think we're at a half hour.
Yeah, we are.
Let's do it. Comic of the week is going to be my friend Tammy Pescatelli.
Yeah.
Let's do it. She's been grinding it out.
I can't believe we
haven't done it. It turns out her Twitter handle is Tammy Pescatelli. T-A-M-M-Y.
Pescatelli. Like fish and Italian.
Like spaghetti.
T-E-L-L-I.
Yeah.
but like Tammy, spaghetti.
I don't know. Tammy Pescatelli is literally just a headliner of extraordinary talent.
Yes.
Told me we went to Powell's for coffee.
Oh my God!
Thursday,
that's
it was so great, and we're talking about, and she was talking about how she wants to do cruise ships, but it's hard because her son is 11, and she doesn't want to be away from him.
Right.
Because he's super needy. And I said, I know someone else who is a needy 11, 12-year-old.
Tammy and I should co-headline cruise ships in about 7 years.
Exactly. And she said...
Did she say it's weirder that they're actually a little more needier now than when they were little?
I think she said it's a bad time for her to be gone a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And so she... But she was talking about... I said... Yeah, there's a lot of pregnant comics doing specials and stuff. She goes, you know, I was pregnant doing the road. And then she told me that she didn't tell anyone she was pregnant till she was 5 months pregnant. She didn't tell her agent or anybody because, she told her agent, who then said, you can't tell anyone.
What the
because
fuck?
Because they won't
Seriously?
Book you next. They won't book
that
you the next quarter.
That makes total sense, of course.
And then... When she was, I don't know if he dropped her or not, but he was an ass about the whole thing. And she worked until she flew back to New York from a corporate in Florida, 9 months pregnant. And I was like, you're not supposed to fly when you're 9 months pregnant. She said, what am I, Rockefeller? I have to work. I can't.
She must not have been. She must not have shown a lot,
right?
They won't let you on if you look 9 months pregnant.
The stewardesses or the flight attendants will just be like, nope, bail.
I think I flew eight.
Even 11 years ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was pregnant like a year ahead of her. Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was just telling somebody at work has the lit agent had just fired the lit agent that let me go after I had my baby.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I was bummed to let this guy go. Oh, go. I go, really? He dropped me after I had a baby. So it's okay.
Do not. What a piece of Anyway. So it turns out alive and well, sexism.
Well, yes, but she has two kids. And is she have a husband still?
Tammy?
Yeah.
I don't think she has two kids, does she?
I thought she had two.
I thought she had one.
Oh, okay.
I'm really good friends with Tammy Pescatelli, you guys. We should all go look at her act, because I bet you if she has two kids, she's got twice as much material.
No, Jackie, that's not how it works.
I think that's exactly how it works.
She
Every person in your life gives you 10 minutes.
She... She moved to Pennsylvania.
Yep.
She kind of lives in a rural area. Is that right?
Yeah.
So she has to drive far to the airport every time she has a gig. How far away is she from a major city?
I think it's a good hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a haul.
Does she have family out there?
Yeah. Her parents moved to help, and her husband's still there. But I think he was ill.
They
got a little village.
Lot.
It's a full
plate.
It's
a lot to carry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you're a road comic.
Yep.
Fuck.
So we gotta. Everybody go buy something at Tammy Pescatelli's.
Yeah.
And let's do a Max Fun Break.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Aneke.
And I'm James. And together, we are the self-proclaimed Wonder Twins of podcasting and host Minority Corner.
We tackle subjects like LGBTQ topics, pop culture,
and untold histories of American POCs, like the true story of escaped slave turned pirate turned Navy man in the Civil War turned congressman Robert Smalls.
Plus current events from our perspective.
Deep dive movie and TV reviews. You'll also get
awesome book recommendations from their neighborhood-friendly librarian.
Don't forget my award-winning Jennifer Hudson impressions.
And I'm telling you.
While never taking ourselves too seriously.
Minority Corner. Because together,
we're the majority.
Every Friday here on Maximum.
And we're back. So
I was awake last night. My kid stayed at his dad's last night. So mm-hmm. It was just me and my mom. And that's always... You know, if she talks to me, it's therapy. Therapy is depressing in a way because I thought maybe there'll be some breakthrough and we'll have some, like, you know how they in the movies.
You've only gone four times, right?
But you know, in the movies, there's always like some relationship and then they have a moment and then they get closer. Whatever kind of relationship is fraught, right?
Right.
But I don't think she's going to change. I'm not changing. And it's just like, oh, I have a mother who doesn't understand me, and mm-hmm. I don't understand her, and this is about it. This is
Well, your early days here, I would say, with this therapy. I think you're pretty early days. You went, what, four sessions? Five?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the third year of our living situation.
I'm not saying it hasn't been a long 3 years. I think it's been, I think we all know.
I am so mad at my dad for just leaving this with me. This
right.
collection of bones.
Did he really say she's your problem now?
No.
Okay, that would have been such a great line.
Jackie, it's called writing.
I know. I've never had to do it. My father just keeps talking. And
But so I'm running now. I spend a lot of my energy figuring out how to make the house bigger. And then I'm like, oh, I can do that. And then I'll like look up adding a second story. And it's like, it could be up to a year long. I'm like, okay, that can't fucking happen. So things seem like, okay, I'll do that. I'll just take out a loan. I'll do that. And then it's like, oh no, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I spend a lot of time looking at 75 different solutions and then I'll decide not to do any of them. And I think
interesting.
I spent a year going over that in my head and I opted not to, like breast reduction surgery.
Yeah.
I'll cycle through times where I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I'll do a ton of research. And then mm-hmm. I'll be like, I don't want to get cut have to.
Yeah.
And I wasted a lot of time investigating. So I feel like I'm doing that with this situation now. Like, how can I live in this situation? Is it adding square footage? Is it what? How do I do it? She could live 10 more years.
Right.
I didn't sign up for spending my last fuckable decade living with my mother. You know what I
right?
mean?
Right. Oh, I get it. Could you please call your next album My Last Fuckable Decade?
Yes.
And so that's brutal. I don't know what to tell you. I'm getting a lot of input from audience members trying to give me some advice. I mean, I got a lot of advice from a lot of Maria's fans. Are super sweet. Mm-hmm. They're all very, very sweet. Mm-hmm. And but some of them are therapists and some of them have an interest in letting me know what I should be doing. And that what they like about my set and what they don't like about my set.
Oh,
and,
no.
Well, and I'm working the merch table.
Oh,
and,
my God.
So
you have to put up with it.
So I get a lot of... And there was a very drunk woman who came out, I think it was second show Saturday. And she came out and she was super hammered. Her boyfriend was not hammered, picked her up afterwards. She couldn't figure Maria out. She didn't know what
right.
was happening. She maybe had accidentally come to see a show.
Yeah.
I mean, Maria's opening her set with one of those, hey.
A disclaimer.
Yeah, I love her
disclaimer for the hammered.
Disclaimer for the possibly the disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And and it always makes me happy. I hadn't seen her in 2 months. And so a lot of her material, you know, you don't see somebody and then they do, I don't know, she's probably done 30 sets since I've seen her, mm-hmm. 30, 45 minute sets. And the difference,
wow,
is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's everything's tighter. There's extra lines. There's a bunch of new lines that are fucking outstanding.
Great.
And so I was just sitting there going,
is she prepping for a CD?
Yeah. She's in August. She's going to record something. So, she's been working on this new hour, I think, for 2 years.
Wow.
So
see, that's how long it takes.
It
does. Maybe even longer.
I like a nice 3 year in between. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Caitlin Gill asked me if I'd open for her taping.
Oh, neat.
Up in San Francisco.
Where?
Don't know. But I do have the time open. So she just texted me today and I checked and I made her email me, of course, because please book me over email. And I checked and I can do it. And I like the idea of that there's going to be a whole new generation of women comics who want me to open for them.
Yes!
This is going to be
yes!
steady work well into my 70s.
That's all we want at this point. I just want steady work into my
70s. Make sure, yes, please become famous. And yes, I will open for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I got a bunch of hiatus weeks.
Oh, do you?
Yes. That usually we don't get this much advance notice, but like now I know up until January of next year. So,
whoa.
Having Catherine...
try to fill some weeks.
Pursue all leads.
But we should probably do, you know, like if you get a gig, like we could add a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right? If you have a hiatus week.
Yeah.
We could add an off day and do a live Jackie and Laurie.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Depends, you know, like is she doing laughs in Seattle?
I just was there.
Oh, that's
March.
Right. That's right.
So, yeah, we're casting to the clubs I was at in the last year and a half or mm-hmm, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to. I mean, I don't know if a Helium is in my. Is in
Madison,
my sights,
Wisconsin.
Who? I don't know.
The daughters book it. And yeah. I don't know. If anybody
know
does know,
there.
Feel free to email me.
I don't know
me
how
because,
to make that happen.
That's where I went to college, and I would like to go back and do stand-up. Oh, yeah. But I've done it twice, and they've been very supportive, but I seem to be on a 2-year rotation.
Oh.
I'm on a 5-year rotation with Bert at Zany's. And,
I think that's
counting.
Not uncommon.
And
yeah.
Well, there's decades when he books me every year or every year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and there's decades when he doesn't.
Isn't it weird how you can have you're gonna have a decades long relationship with some bookers, and it's like, dude, I'm not leaving this business, so you might as well just book me.
Just book me.
We're gonna do this till we die.
This is what
I can
we do.
Take my avails and give me a week.
Exactly. Just figure it out, man.
I'm gonna be in Houston.
Oh, that's right.
The Joke Joint. Just to plug that, if anyone, we have any Texas people, May.
Didn't you already do it? I thought you did it.
No, I'm doing it May. I'm doing it over Memorial Day weekend or Labor, whatever.
Was
whatever
this the one that got booked because of the debacle on Twitter?
Debacle or me pointing out correctly? That's Stormy.
I didn't want to bring up the name. Cause,
Yeah. It's the same place. Yeah.
It's the same place, but you already did it once, didn't you?
No, I've never done it before.
Oh, this is the booking that came from that.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought we had already lived this life. No, this is a life that we're
probably already
have
this conversation.
Oh, at least once.
It's May 30th through June 1st. Come
sure.
on out, please. I'd like to draw at least as well as a...
As
the president's mistress
for a
if
second
that's at all possible.
Well, for how long though? And
I was trying to book a weekend in a club on one of my hiatus weekends, but it's a Friday Saturday and it's near Detroit.
Yeah,
flying to fucking Detroit is so expensive.
Yeah,
and it's so I wouldn't be able to. It's a Friday Saturday and I would have to leave on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And taking a red eye out and there's, you know, changing planes. Oh, it was just and the flight allowance wasn't as much as
needed. Yeah, yeah.
Needed. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're
going
to try to do
it on another.
That's the biggest
problem with some of that stuff. You don't have frequent flyer miles with Southwest?
Not enough.
Not enough?
No.
Okay.
Not enough.
In June, I'm doing Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Oh, cool.
Well, I'm going to do Mill Valley, like the June 11th, right? I'm doing Lucy's.
Yeah.
Throckmorton on June 11th. And then the 13th through the 16th, I'm doing Rooster Tees. And then I believe the 27th through the 30th, so I have two good weeks, two great booked weeks in June, headline weeks. Kansas City, brand new club in Kansas City.
Oh, what's it called?
I believe it's called the Comedy Club of Kansas City.
Oh,
I'm not even kidding.
There used to be a Stanford's there, right? Stanford with an M or
like
M?
That. It's something like that. It was.
Wasn't that guy like the owner? Something sketchy about that guy.
Not this one. This was a brand new one.
Yeah, this is a new one.
Yeah.
Hey, nice money.
Yeah, Jesus. The money's all right. The gig's good. So it's got all kinds of potential. And I'm really looking forward to it because I've only done Missouri with Maria,
yeah.
So it'll be super fun to headline my own gig, and that's 10 shows, that's 10 headline sets.
Oh, that's great.
And I need every headline. I'm thinking about doing Vermont. I'm thinking about doing the Clubhouse during the week, just some afternoon shows.
On Vermont. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should probably ping the Vermont Comedy Club and see if they'll bring me back.
Yeah.
Always. Just, I have to write down.
You should actually fly to Vermont for some afternoon shows.
Yeah, just start doing afternoon shows.
I've been listening to Gabby Dunn's podcast, which is called Bad with Money.
Uh-huh.
It's aimed at millennials who are bad with money.
Right.
But, I'm not great with money. Mm-hmm. I'm not bad with money. I don't gamble, but I don't know what I'm doing.
And you can learn.
And I'm not a millennial.
Right.
But even hearing people talk about it when it's not exactly your problem helps you get focused on what your problem is. And I've long wanted to extricate myself from my bank, which was part of the reason of the housing collapse.
Right.
And it's such a fucking pain in the ass. And I just have always postponed
it. It's a lot of work.
And that's what they count on. You set up all your payees and then, you know, they're like, yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
So I've been really trying to clean that up and just even close credit cards that I don't use and I don't want open and I don't want confusing me. And
Simplify.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just simplify and figure out. Yeah, it was Marie was saying that she was listening to there's a Canadian financial advisor TV show, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Maria loves a financial advisor TV show. And I guess this woman in Canada is not owned by Big Credit Card, which I guess Susie Orman is owned by Big Credit Card.
Susie Orman is a ball. Gabby Dunn had a little interview with her, and she's like, she's got her own island. It's like, I respect.
She has an island?
I respect whatever she did. Like people like her and Martha Stewart were the first women in whatever they were doing. Oprah,
right.
That kind of thing. Who knows how they got, I don't know what kind of choices they had to make and how painful and awful it was. So whatever they have that's grossly wealthy, I believe they earned it. You were the first ones in your categories, you know?
Right.
So she's one of those people.
Right, but Maria's been working on and off for probably 5 years on this.
What's
Susie
that person's
Orman
name? What's the Canadian lady's name?
I don't know. That's all the information I've got in my brain box offhand is a Canadian. But if you Google it.
Yeah.
Or you could just text her and ask her. And what have I been listening to? I've been listening to a way to figure out how to sort of restart my thinking more in each day. Sort of, I want to start meditating when I wake up.
Yes.
And just to sort of restart the day and to sort of turn my thinking over, you know, if I can do it. And I've done it. And then a couple of days I haven't done it. And those days were harder, it turns out. So if I spend 5 or 10 minutes just sort of,
I know,
being quiet and sort of planning out my day and planning out, not trying to control everything, I can be of more use. And then it's better than grabbing my phone and checking and getting into a Facebook fight as the sun peeps over.
Give it 5 minutes before you fight.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I have to wake up earlier than my kid, who immediately turns on Japanese anime.
Which one?
Naruto.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He loves Naruto. Yeah.
Well, I have known...
Oh, my God. Your eyes lit up.
No. I've known Miley Flanagan for 30 years.
Who's Miley Flanagan?
She is Naruto.
Oh!
Yeah. She is... Yeah. So if he ever would like to meet Naruto.
Oh, I'm sure she would. She has plenty of time.
She does. She's great. She's adorable.
Wow.
And wonderful.
She's the voice or the writer?
The voice.
Wow. Amazing.
600 episodes, not Union.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds of episodes. But she does cons. They fly her to Australia. They fly her to Russia.
Animation is they get fucked over.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
for
not
sure.
fair. The writers and mm-hmm. creators and stuff like that. And so she's not I don't know anything about VO work. That's not covered by SAG. That's SAG stuff, right?
No, it is not. I think The Simpsons might be, but that's it, right?
Because it's on network TV.
I don't think they're even part of it. I think they're just a separate contract.
I think they just got a. Yeah, I think you're right. Kyle said that they got a separate contract.
Wow,
and it's true. Somebody else came up.
Well, I mean, if you do VO on a Conan on a sketch or something, it's a SAG payment. It goes through SAG. So I think
Animation contracts are different than just regular voiceover, to my knowledge.
Wow.
And I think it might be put under hosting or other.
I know
acting gigs.
I have friends that have written for some animation, and they don't have guild protection.
I did Flappers that weekend.
What weekend?
And this a couple of weekends. You know, a month ago I headlined. And a very nice woman sent me three shows. She was like, we're interested, you know, would you want to write on a cartoon show? And I'm like, nope. Please don't make me. And I don't want to, you know what I want to do right now? I want to write, I want to do long sets and come up with my new album. I need to tighten my new, for the new album.
I like stand-up comedy.
I like stand-up comedy. And I would like to do a lot of long sets.
Yeah.
Make a good living at it. And then also tighten up the, and some of the jokes are coming right along. Very pleased with some of the stuff. Though, as per usual, like Friday first show, Maria and I just looked at each other at the end of the show going, well, that's a wash. You can't really. Yeah. You can't tell if those jokes worked or if they were just going to carry you off stage anyway.
Oh, they were too good.
Yeah. Yeah. They were too good. There's no way to tell.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm glad I recorded them.
Yeah. Because those are shows that you can riff on because the audience is so supportive that
right.
it actually will help you that, expand
and
a
you
bit.
Could, yeah. You could find the right phrasing if you're loose enough. And of course, so I've got a couple of good tapes for suggestions for late night sets.
Yeah.
Possibles. And that's good. But I just want to do long sets, quite honestly.
Yeah. I wanted to take the pressure off of trying to put together another late night set. I mean, mm-hmm. I could throw one together right now if someone said.
Oh, right. It was like, but hey, we got 5 minutes. Can you do 5 minutes? You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. I have a spot open on this show, this date. Can mm-hmm. you give me it? Yeah, meet me halfway. Otherwise, I have to the quest.
It's been
for a
great.
Tape.
A lot of the late night shows are booking a bunch of comics right now, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's I invited this very nice guy. He's always been really good to me at the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. He's mm-hmm. always written very nice reviews of my stand up. He was like, "Hey, do you have like a comedy brunch thing on Tuesdays?" And I was like, "Often, not always."
Oh, that article.
He came to the brunch.
He was visiting in LA, right?
Okay. Yeah, and he had dinner with Pete Lee, who's a comic from Minneapolis. And
so he's doing a story on Minneapolis comics that moved to LA.
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly Pete Lee.
Okay.
So he came to lunch, and it was and Alice Wetterland was there, mm-hmm. And so we're just talking about stand-up. I was disappointed that like Andy Erickson and Tommy Ryman weren't there. They might have been, but he didn't mention them, but I think that he would have mentioned them. Mm-hmm. But he called me the godmother of comedy.
No, somebody told him that. We need to find out who said you were the godmother of Minneapolis comics.
And kill them.
And kill them.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're not a fucking godmother. You're a fucking comic. And you would crawl over their dead bodies to get their spots, okay?
More of that kiss my ring kind of thing. It's real nice. Yeah. It's, you know,
if I wore a cape, no one would
if I wore a cape?
Like
oh, I would like a cape. Oh, a murderer cape.
I can't believe you don't have a cape now that I think of it.
Yeah, me neither. Now that we brought it up, why don't I have a cape?
You have Viking gear.
I have a very
and
nice
a sword.
I do have a sting. I own a sting.
Is that a sword?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know that I tell you that I played guest on Mansplain on Nerd Poker, Brian Posehn's podcast?
Oh, yeah.
It was D&D, and my character's name is Guest on Mansplain.
Okay.
And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and his whole
I remember whole tuning this out before.
Right, his whole shtick is that he re-explains the other people. Yeah, I've told you this. Anyway, so I want to write the poem about Gaston Mansplain. Nobody takes credit like he does. Anyway, so where are we at?
Kyle, please.
That's not bad. Yes. Oh.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent. Yeah, I mean, I guess it all starts with I'm awakened by children and
there are children in my house.
They're waking me up. And, like, the coffee doesn't even work anymore.
Oh, I know.
I've been drinking so much coffee for so many years straight now. It doesn't do anything. Like, it just only makes sure I don't get a headache, probably.
It's more medicinal now.
Yeah.
Than, like,
like,
yeah,
I have to just drink it so that I don't probably get a headache.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
No break for us.
Somebody came up to me at the merch table and said, you know, I see the numbers. It says 101.53, and I know that's Max Fun. That's not you guys. That because it's more than an hour. It's longer. The show's longer.
It's always two minutes longer than
normal. And I was like, I am so sorry that you're being lied to. And they wanted to know if we were going to go to Max FunCon. Max FunCon is a weekend of...
I think I've been to it before.
I went once with Maria.
I went when my dad had cancer.
Oh, weird.
Wait, right after he died, actually. It was like a couple months after he died.
Why would you have gone...
I did some weekend and Jesse, and there was lots of classes, and Maria was there, and there was like a campfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it. I've done it. It was fun. I did a couple shows. I saw Elvis Mitchell was there. He did a Q&A. I met Maeve.
Okay.
Maeve Higgins, right?
Maeve sounds familiar.
Yes.
Okay.
Who lives in, she's from Ireland, but she lives in New York now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She does
Butterboy. Yeah.
Butterboy.
Oh, I'm going to do Butterboy.
Are you going to do Butterboy this weekend? Or this Monday?
When this is dropping Monday. I will have been in New York, but I'm doing Butterboy tonight in Brooklyn. Yeah. So come on down, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Butterboy's fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I got spots galore, too.
Oh, do you?
Oh, your fucking lover that hates me complained that I complain too much about not having work and then having spots in New York. Hey, motherfucker. Like, the spots don't pay so much that it's like, I mean, weekend spots are great.
Are you reviewing an iTunes review right now? Is that what's happening?
But they're people's conception of what work is. It's paid work versus spots where you spend half of the money in cab fare.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of it, it's on, I had to fly out there.
Yep.
I mean, I never break even on my New York weekends. I usually lose about $150 to $200 when you take in getting from the airport to the apartment and then getting around. So I lose money.
No, the people don't really understand the mechanics of stand-up comedy. Somebody was talking about how if you ever do – they said to Maria – this. The very nice woman, I'm sure. So goes, if you ever do another tour, please consider doing this. And I thought, another tour? What do you think? Stand-up comedy is
it's
non-stop tour.
It's a life. Your life is a tour.
It'd be like saying, if you ever think about going to work again, you should totally go to work.
Exactly.
And I was like, yeah, I was thinking about working. but there's no way to know that stand-up, like I do stand-up comedy for a living, there's no not touring.
Yeah, you're either working or you're not working that week. But you know what? Millennial comics have started using the word tour, and they make it seem special, all right? So civilians are like...
I think Kirkman does that, though.
Kirkman, Marcella does it, where you make it's not like, to me, it's like, oh, that's your June.
right, you're
like,
on a run.
I'm on tour. No, that's your June. And then you have other things in July. But people, I mean, maybe it's thematically, it's like, it's bands. Like new material or something. Yeah. So maybe that you can couch it as a tour with new material. But, you know, we're just...
You could name a run. That's what they're doing. They're naming a run.
But it does make an audience member feel like they want to see that particular show because it'll never be the same again. Even though, hey,
It absolutely is never going to be the same again. Guess what, you guys? If you come and see me in the Bay Area, you may see some version of those jokes, but hopefully they will be tighter with more punchlines the next time you see them.
Yeah, there's always new stuff. There's crowd work, whatever.
The gender joke's working really good. I'm pretty psyched about it.
Yay.
And it's potential. And Maria came up with, you know, that joke I was working on about Indonesian food.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, had a food truck line about going down and sitting by the ice cages and seeing what kind of food the kids were going to. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I don't know how to make that funny. Anyway, she's like, no, it's just an angle. It's not really funny yet. And I was like, you're correct. And so much fun.
But I do think that's smart to make it. Like Steve Hofstetter, I'm obsessed with his YouTube channel because he markets himself really, really well.
Yes, he does.
He'll do Q&A. He'll do with the audience afterwards.
He's like Kyle Cease, but he does stand-up.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's in, you know, it's very smart, and he'll put his, you know, tour dates up and stuff like that. And
yep.
I'm guessing it's working. I mean, he has a ton of followers and it's working. He's working.
Yeah. Yeah. He works. And, mm-hmm. There's always some weird angle. There's like a third job that we all need to figure out how to do. And I can't.
Comics that have that side of their brain, they're unstoppable.
People think that about me with the merch. What I did was I just embraced the wholesales.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, at least my merch doesn't suck.
Yes. You know, it's right,
not
right, right.
creepy. It isn't just a butt joke.
Yeah.
It isn't. Not that a butt joke can't be funny, but I'm just saying, you know, the first thing I gave away was that, that's where I keep my vagina t-shirt.
Yeah.
What
was that? What joke was that off of?
It was from my first album that I redid for most of Bread. So it's never going to be Bread. And the it was the vagina t-shirt joke about how somebody wanted me to do a t-shirt that said, that's where I keep my vagina, with an arrow going to the left. And I didn't want to be the vagina t-shirt.
Sure. No.
So instead I made a button with both arrows, and then because I can't even remember how the whole joke goes anymore, mm-hmm. but I gave away the buttons. And the funny thing is 10 years, five years earlier, my dad said that I should put a joke or my website or just my name on a painter's cap and give them away at shows.
Give them away.
Well, like the and 5 years later, I was giving away the buttons.
Mm,
so right, my right, father, right. as per usual, was correct, much to my infuriated, I was furious.
Do you remember Renee Hicks?
Yeah.
That's how she got so much college work. I think I've told the story before, but she went to NACA. This is the legend. And she had a ton of shit that she gave. Was it her? Wait a minute. Yeah, I think it was Renee Hicks.
I love Renee Hicks.
But she, something where she gave away a lot of stuff at NACA. But okay. She was one of the earlier comics to figure out that college kids like free shit.
Right.
And that made them want to book her.
Swag.
Plus, she was a great comic.
She's a great comic, but now they have a trinket with her name on it.
Yes.
And
I'm sure everyone's doing that now.
Oh, I'm sure everyone's doing
it. I mean, if you
it.
Are a comic that's going to NACA, you should prepare for something like that.
Yeah.
It's not remotely creatively satisfying, and you're just trying to get as many one-nighters at colleges that pay $15,000
to $3,000. Pete Lee did 96 one year.
God.
He did two runs of 45.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think it was the year after he got divorced.
Though that didn't cause the divorce?
No, I think the year before caused it. It was bad. It was like he told me he was on the road so hardcore that it sort of broke.
You know what sucks? And then you're all that money you work so hard on the road for, which is, that is blood money.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give half of it to your ex.
Well, it's a partnership. And when the partnership dissolves,
mm-hmm.
you got to split it.
Oh, you wouldn't know about that, Miss Happily Married.
We're happily married. Let me go home. Can I go home?
Yep. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.